Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege that is ours as we every day have the wonderful blessing of being able to open your word and hear from you and hear from heaven as you speak words of wisdom, counsel, grace, blessing, empowerment, and so much more as we spend time with you one-on-one in your word. With every passing day, more and more, Lord, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to be faithful hearers and doers. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Jason Tross. Jason is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, I ask that you would set our gaze upon you, prepare our hearts for your word, prepare the hearts of our listeners for your word and what you may speak to them by your spirit. I pray that our hearts, our minds, and our souls will be good soil, Father God, that the seed that you have to sow today will take root and that it will be cultivated in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask that you would have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're blessed to have as our initial guest, someone that's been with us before but is here to share about a very special event that's going to happen here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Sister Jeannie Rogers. Jeannie, how are you today?
I am just wonderful.
That's great. Good to have you with us. And if you'll take a moment just to kind of reintroduce yourself as well as Caleb to our listeners. And then we want to talk about or give you the chance to share about this special event that's happening tomorrow.
Okay. Well, my name is Jeannie Rogers, and I am the mother of a very special little boy, and his name is Caleb Rogers. He's been on the broadcast several times, and Lord has just given him such an anointing. And Caleb he actually battles with cerebral palsy, and he's winning that battle for sure.
Amen.
God has used it for his glory. And so, Brother Joseph, do you want me to go right into this wonderful event coming up?
Please do, yes.
Okay. Well, on Saturday, October the 23rd at 3:30, everything will start at Ballard Park in Tupelo, Mississippi. And what this is going to be, in the past, Caleb is from, I think he was 5 or 6 years old, for his birthday, he wanted a revival. Mm-hmm. And so we had a big backyard revival, and we've done that 2 times in the past. But this year, he is coming on 10 years old, and mm-hmm. so he wanted to have a community-wide revival. Mm-hmm. And so we have, the Lord has put this event together that's going to take place again. I'm speaking to you on Friday the 22nd, and it's going to take place tomorrow. And it's just going to be a day full of just lifting up the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I asked Caleb, I said, have you been preparing? Like, what do you feel? Do you want to share what you feel like your message will be? He said, just Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that's what this is all about tomorrow. So Caleb is actually going to give a word to the community himself. Mm-hmm. We're going to have several local pastors that are going to pray over the event. And we are going to have, we have a special guest speaker that's going to be bringing a message. We're going to have Austin Malone, and he's going to bring worship and actually debut one of his first singles that he's been working on. We're going to have Stephen McWhirter, a Christian artist, that's going to come into Tupelo and lead in worship. And Chris Payne, I'm sorry, I'm going to backtrack just a second. Caleb has a nonprofit, Just Jesus, Inc., and we just basically give out God's word for free. Mm-hmm. And so we are partnering with another ministry, with Chris Payne and his ministry, A Way Out. Mm-hmm. And we just come together to put this on for the community. And so we are just looking for great things to happen tomorrow. So we just want to openly invite anyone and everyone around that area to this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, Saturday the 23rd is the day of this event. And you said 3:30 p.m., correct?
Start straight at 3:30. Yes, sir.
All right. I want to say a word of prayer for the event, okay?
Thank you.
Father, thank you, Lord, for this special celebration of Caleb's birthday, and thank you for the wonderful way that you will use it for your glory in the building of your kingdom. Father, anoint this event with a mighty, 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 mighty anointing. Set it on fire of your Holy Spirit. Use it to touch many. I pray that many people will be saved, many will be edified and encouraged. Use it to touch the community, our city, our state, our nation, our world,
yes,
according
yes,
to your
Jesus.
Perfect will, and cause the name of Jesus to be lifted up powerfully and wonderfully and fully through this whole event. And bless Caleb and Jeannie and the family mightily according to your perfect will today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jeannie, thank you for coming on and sharing. Tell Caleb hello for us, and we're looking forward to being there, okay?
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You as well.
All right.
Amen. And I'd like to invite every listener to pray for God to anoint this event and use it wonderfully to accomplish His will and the building of God's kingdom as well. So again, the day, Saturday the 23rd. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And for the balance of our broadcast, we'll be having another guest that will be on with us in just a few moments, Bishop Patrick Wooden. And just to share a few things about our guest for the balance of the broadcast, Bishop Wooden is the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, a great leader of the Lord and a servant of the Lord as well. And so we're grateful to have him with us. And let's see, do we have him on as of yet here? Okay. All right. Well, we'll have him on in just a few moments. But while we're waiting for Bishop Wooden to come on, I want to go ahead and share a passage of Scripture which I know will be very fitting to our topic that we'll be talking with Bishop Wooden about. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. And that particular chapter, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, is actually a great scripture for you to read consistently throughout your life, because every believer needs to live and function courageously in the way we follow Jesus Christ. And so at this time, I want to introduce our guest for the balance of the broadcast. Our guest is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's been with us before, but it's been a while. He is the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop Wooden, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, Dr. Parker. God bless you, sir. I'm honored to be a part, and thank you for all that you do. I have you, am I coming through clear enough? I have you on speakerphone. Is that fine?
Yes, sir. We can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. Yes,
all right. Well, Bishop, if you'll take maybe a moment to further introduce yourself to our listeners, as well as if there are persons in your area who want to find out where Upper Room is, tell them how to get there as well, if you would.
Well, thank you. I am the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. I've just celebrated my 34th pastoral anniversary, and God has blessed us these 34 years. I am married to my high school sweetheart, Pamela. I'm the proud father of two children, Patrick and Crystal, and three grandchildren, and a very fine, born-again son-in-law. And I tell you, God is doing great things for us at the Upper Room. I am the jurisdictional prelate of the North Carolina Third Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction, and we have churches, about 50 churches in our jurisdiction, and we cover North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, and some very fine pastors in our jurisdiction, men who love Jesus Christ and preach the gospel with power and authority. We're located in the city of Raleigh, North Carolina, the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, and you can reach us at the business, the church cell phone is 919-829-6160. We're located at 3300 Idlewood Village Drive in Raleigh, North Carolina. You can reach us and find out a little bit more about us by going to upperroom.org. Upper Room Gospel, Upper Room Gospel, that's one word, .org. And we exist to defend the gospel, to fight the good fight of faith, and we are, without apology, a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
We believe that the Bible is the only, and I put emphasis on only written, inspired, inerrant, holy, infallible Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, Bishop, again, it's an honor to have you on. And let me just mention, you know, one of the, I first became familiar with you and some of your preaching in hearing some videos where you address the life issue. And so I tell you, we're coming up on a break and we want to pick up on the other side. And I want to get right into talking about the need for courageous pastoral leadership in our culture, but we'll be right back.
Thank you. is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm, yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless, yeah. Protects me from all harm.
The music of the wall, music from the Walls Group. All praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the bishop and the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop, as we begin this segment, I want to ask if you'll first pray for listeners to really have ears to hear all that the Lord would say to them through the broadcast today, if you would, please.
Thank you, sir. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity. And God, we pray for the listeners. You know, Lord, you said in your word that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, and that this thing comes by hearing, and that is hearing the word of God. So, Father, I pray, O God, that you would open the ears of the listeners and allow the truth of God and the sincerity of what we are discussing to sink deep into their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you again, Bishop Wooden. And as I was saying earlier, I was grateful to come across some videos whereby you were addressing the life issue. And, you know, Bishop, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll share your heart on this issue. This is one of those issues that for many people, they want to say it's controversial and they sometimes don't want it to be even brought and addressed in a church setting. But the reality is the life issue is very clearly addressed in Scripture. One of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not murder." There's a great need for courageous pastoral leadership in addressing many issues, including the life issue. Would you share your perspective and your heart on this matter?
Yes, sir. And thank you, Dr. Parker, for this opportunity. Yes, first, sir, and foremost, the first civil right is the right to be born. Without that right, none of the other rights even apply. You got to be born to be able to have access to a lunch counter. Got to be born to even be able to decide whether to abort your baby. You got to be born to do all of these things. So we're talking about the first right. And then secondly, Jesus spoke of the least of these. Well, the very least of these in society are not the newborn. They're not the disadvantaged. They're not the minorities. They're not the down and out. The very least of these in society are the unborn. They are human beings formed, wonderfully formed in the womb of the mother. Women can't be pregnant with anything other than human beings. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about human beings having all the rights afforded and accorded to them as you would apply to anyone else. It has been proven by the embryologists. Technology has proven that life begins at conception. At one point, there was discussions as to whether or not that was the case. You knew better. I knew better, and I believe some of those who argued against it knew better as well. But one of the reasons the tide is turning is that technology shows that that is an actual human being in the womb of the mother, and life begins at conception. And when we are shedding innocent blood, the unborn has broken no laws. They have offended no one. They have done no wrong. They have not sinned. Regardless to how they were conceived, they have participated in no sin and no wrongdoing whatsoever. And so we are killing the very purest in society. And if a society is judged on how it treats its most vulnerable, then America and the world is in trouble, because we're slaughtering the most vulnerable in society that there is, and that is the unborn. Now, abortion is abhorrent. It is evil. It is against the law of God. It is against Scripture, regardless to the color. But there is not a racist, but there is a racial component to this. As an African-American minister, and I'm sure your listeners, either if they look me up, they know that by now, or they can probably tell by my dialect and my speech pattern, I know that Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, and the eugenicist movement in America took off. It was started. It was it really flourished with the idea of getting rid of people of color. Mm-hmm. Margaret Sanger, viewed black people as human weed that do not have a right to reproduce or to grow. And so the whole Planned Parenthood, eugenicist abortion movement was started to destroy and get rid of us. 78% of Planned Parenthood abortuaries are within 2 miles of high black population centers or centers of color. Mm-hmm. They target us for extinction. African Americans today make up approximately 43 million strong in this country, 13% of the population. The Hispanics, the Latino community, in a very short period of time, have grown to be 60 million strong and about approximately 19% of the population. They've surpassed us. The major reason is they view abortion much differently than we do. They give birth. They have larger families. African Americans, as we have embraced the left in the country, the Marxist movement, the left, and I think the greatest racists of all are the white leftists who promote this idea of abortion, and that and they even promote abortion now as reproductive rights. As can you believe it? As reproductive rights. And how can you kill unborn babies and view them as reproductive rights? But this is what is being sold to our people. And you know this, and if I may, right quick, when it comes down to a scripture, you know, as God warned Israel not to practice the behavior of the Canaanites, offering their babies unto the wicked god Molech, the god of convenience, the god whom they felt that if they would sacrifice their children to, things would go their way, and how they walked their children through the trough on their way to that false god, and the kids were burnt alive to mask the screams and the cries of the babies. They beat drums real loudly, very loud, to drown out their cry. And little children were sacrificed to this wicked god. Well, 98% of the abortions in America are part of it's birth control. The child is a nuisance. She wasn't married to the guy she got pregnant for. We just saw three U.S. sitting senators talk about the abortions that they had, and I thought it was a disgrace, if you ask me. And so I guess they're saying, and we went on to be senators, look at us, congresswomen, excuse me. So this is a very real issue, and for any for all preachers out there, it is to be taken seriously. But to the African-American minister, you are derelict. You are failing to properly feed your congregation if this is not a major part of your church and your ministry and your preaching against this slaughter that is taking place.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bishop Wooden, you know, you've said a lot in just a few moments there. We live in a culture where so many spiritual leaders and pastors and others in positions of leadership in the body of Christ, again, deliberately avoid this issue. They don't want to talk about it, don't choose to preach and teach about it, often saying, well, I don't want to offend anyone, I don't want to make people feel bad or awkward. And yet, sadly, we find them just missing a major part, as you just alluded to, their responsibility as pastoral leaders. Why would you say that so many pastors just try to skip over this critically important issue?
They don't understand their job. They don't understand their job. We have too many in the ministry whom God have not called. Show me in the scripture where pastors are supposed to avoid offending people. Mm-hmm. Show me in the scriptures where we're supposed to be movie stars. We're supposed to be celebrities. Show me in the scripture where the pastors are supposed to be liked by everyone. These men are the worst. And I'm trying to say this as politely as I possibly can. As a matter of fact, they are the problem. How is it? How can you know? Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, whoever you are, who take the position, you don't want to offend anyone, you don't want to make anyone mad. How can you know that the unborn are being slaughtered? Anytime you abort one baby, you kill a generation. You destroy all of the things that God had intended for that person to bring forth. The Bible teaches in Psalm 139 that a book of remembrance is written, that their life is written in God's book. There are things that God wants them to do. How can you know that people's lives are being snuffed out and canceled for no good reason at all, and then say, I don't want to say anything, I don't want to be controversial, I don't want to offend anybody. The Bible says that, and in thy book all my members were written. That's Psalm 139, verse 16. So back to the question, how can you take the position, I don't want to say anything controversial. I tell you what's controversial, a preacher who won't preach, a man of God who will not speak to the deciding, defining issues of his era, issues of his time. Jeremiah spoke vehemently against King Nebuchadnezzar and the invasion of the Babylonians. That was one of the defining issues of the time. Isaiah talked about how the Assyrians would conquer the northern kingdom, and they did. Mm-hmm. So all of the things Daniel prophesied and tells us about, even how there will be pastors in the same spirit of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a type for the Antichrist. Back then, there were Jews who claimed to be a part of the covenant, who claimed to love the Lord and love Israel, and yet they were actually Jews in name only. And you know what they were being seduced by? They were being seduced by flatteries. They were being seduced by the flatteries of Antiochus Epiphanes, and he flattered these guys, made them feel like they're accepted and a part of his movement, and they sold out. They actually betrayed the covenant. They were corrupt men, and the Bible predicts that there would be preachers who would sell out, who would betray the covenant for the acceptance of the world. No one gave more eloquent speeches for the life of the unborn and spoke against abortion with more power than the Reverend Jesse Jackson until And you should read what he said in 77, how he spoke against abortion. Mm-hmm. Abortion is murder. Abortion is genocide in the black community. But in the 80s, around 80, 84, whenever he ran for the office of the presidency, the Democrats told him, you can't talk like that and get our backing. And that man shifted on a dime and turned just to get their support. And we see this happening over and over and over. This is not about politics, but I have a question for you. Maybe one of your those in your audience could answer. Do you know of any? I am, by the way, non-affiliate. But do you know of any leading Democrat politician that you see on television or you hear on radio who are in a position of authority, who is who has influence, who is pro-life? Do you know of any? Do you know of any? I don't know of any.
I don't.
And look at what they're doing. Hey, let me narrow it down. Do you know of any black Democrats in positions of power, influence, and authority who are pro-life? I don't know of any. You got to sell your soul. You got to sell your soul to get that influence.
And Bishop, I'm going to jump here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. We will be right back. Okay, Bishop Wooden, in the last segment, I want to touch on
looking for a way out, for a way out. I was so caught up that I couldn't find a way out, find a way out. Yeah, play into my weakness. Can I beat this? Can I crack this surface into the deepness, the deepness? All my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
Of Toby Mac, it's you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Patrick Wooden. He's the pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bishop, I'm going to very briefly read a passage that I often like to read that's such a powerful passage that speaks to courageous believers simply standing up for what they know to be right, even in difficult times. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah, and he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22. And Bishop, very briefly, I want to ask if you'll speak to this in relation to what you were just talking about. Because, of course, these are two, basically, you'd call some two lay persons, two innocent little women, but who boldly stood up for what they knew was right in the face of what would seem like tremendous odds, tremendous political pressure, but they just decided, we fear God more than people, and they stood for what was right. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Well, these two ladies are heroines. They are heroines of the faith. They are the kind of women that we need today. And I love that not only were they courageous, but they were quite sagacious. They were wise. Mm-hmm. The explanation that they gave to Pharaoh was a true explanation. They said it was true, and they left out what needed to be left out. Mm-hmm. But the Hebrew wives were not as the Egyptian women. And so we look up to these women mightily, and we celebrate God for what these women did, and we need more Christians like these women who are willing to stand up for right and to do what is right and to fear the Lord more than they fear the president or political figure or a group of people or a community. The social media, you know, there are so many ways now that people can try to get you. They socially shame you, whatever the case may be. These mm-hmm. women were oblivious to all of it. And, you know, Pastor Parker, we don't assume that they didn't have any fear, mm-hmm. but they feared God more.
That's right. That's right.
They feared God more. And they knew that their position was a dangerous one to take, but mm-hmm. they did what was right anyway. And is that not the definition of courage?
It surely is. And lots of pastors and spiritual leaders need to learn some heavy lessons from Shipp and Pua today. They desperately
yes,
do. Yes, sir. Now, Bishop, I want to ask if you'll speak to this. You know, in a recent months, the state of Georgia elected an individual who considers himself a Christian minister who heavily supports abortion. And how tragic that whole scenario is. Would you speak to that?
Well, I'll tell you what, he heavily supports it, but he would have never wanted that, quote, procedure, end of quote, performed on him. Mm-hmm. It is a disgrace. It is shameful that Warnock, a man of the cloth, I do not know him personally. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: the Bible teaches that a tree is known from the fruit it bears. Mm-hmm. There is no way. I don't want to be nuanced on this. I don't want to come across as though I believe that there is maybe something that you and I are missing. I want my position to be as clear as can be. I do not believe that it is possible to be a man of God, a born-again Christian, a man of the faith, and be pro-abortion. Mm-hmm. And be pro-choice, and to say the things that Warnock has said, that he doesn't see abortion as being incompatible with his role as a Christian minister. He is, in my point of view, based on his own words, not based on any actions. I wouldn't delve into this podcast into the gossip, the street talk, you know, things like that you hear. We don't need that. But based on what he has said about life, mm-hmm. and this issue alone, to me, it totally disqualifies him and any other man of the cloth from being viewed, in my point of view, as being authentic at all, because there is no Bible for his position. There mm-hmm. is no Bible. Jesus died for all. Do you know that Jesus died for the born as well as the unborn? Now, mm-hmm. he had to have died, Pastor Parker, mm-hmm. for the unborn. He had to have died for the unconceived. Mm-hmm. He had to have, because he died for you. Mm-hmm. And he died for me. And he died some 2,021 years before we were born.
That's right. That's right.
Before we came along. So how is it that a minister can, with a straight face, stand shoulder to shoulder with the greatest killing machine ever been invented. We've lost more people to abortion than all the wars of the world combined in America. This is a horrible thing. So I want to say that there's no room for nuance as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to come across as being neutral. I want it to be known that I do not believe that any Christian, any born-again person, anyone who knows Jesus Christ can take such a position. And I tell you what, God will speak in the end, and we will see.
That's right. That's right. And we live in a day and time in which there's so much need for, as we mentioned, courageous pastoral leadership that will say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God's word says clearly. And again, just going back once again, Shipra and Pua were two young women who they knew God in their hearts. And they didn't even have the Ten Commandments. Moses hadn't even come on the scene yet. They probably were used by the Lord to help save the life of Moses. But they knew killing precious children was wrong. And we know it, too. In our day and time, we know it. The Supreme Court knows it. We all know it. The need is for us to take the word of God as our bottom line. Would you take time to pray for the church to rise up to be the church that stands on the word that God has called us to be?
Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, stir us, Lord. Stir the church. Send a stirring, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, many are asleep. Many are asleep at the wheel. Many have been lulled by flatteries into being derelict of duty. But God, I ask that you would send a revival. I ask, oh God, that you would send a stirring in the name of Jesus in the land. Now, Father, we realize the gravity of what we ask, for that stirring may be caused through death, through plagues, through war, through preaching, through revival as we conceive revival, and yet there are other ways that you send revival. There have been times the book of Judges is replete with revival being sent through Israel going into captivity, being overtaken by an enemy. Then they see the error of their ways, and they turn to you. So, Lord, whatever you have to do, God, wake up sleeping churches in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor, I just heard while I was praying where the Lord said, now the Bible says, now the axe is laid at the foot of the tree, at the root of the tree. Mm-hmm. And every tree that my heavenly Father have not planted shall be uprooted. Pastor, I actually believe, Pastor, that in many ways that the church of Christ, the church of God, I'm not talking denomination now, but the body of baptized believers are stirred, that we're making war. And what we're seeing is a vast number, not everyone, but a vast number of people who claim to know Jesus, who claim to, they attend church, Pastor, they pay their tithe. Mm-hmm. They're good people. Some of them wouldn't use profanity if you put a gun to their head. Some are sexually as moral as can be, but their hearts hadn't been touched by Jesus, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And some are part of the actual church, and some are people who are just imposters, who are just not real. Mm-hmm. They're just not real. And I said, Pastor, this to my minister's class. I've been doing a ministers and training class of my 34 years in Raleigh, perhaps 30 years of that time I've had a ministers and trainings class. I prophesied some 10, maybe 15 years ago that there would come a divide in the body of Christ. And that the divide would be between the Bible-believing believers and the rest. And I see that divide. I see it. I see it taking place clearly. People like you, people who are moved by Scripture, who hold the Scriptures in the place that they should be held in, you're not confused. You don't need to have. You don't need to re-examine and re-study what the Bible says about abortion, LGBTQ, or any of these other issues of our times, transgenderism. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be to be retaught. Mm-hmm. You're as clear on these issues today as you were, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are not saved, those who are not versed in Scripture, those who, in many cases, are nominal Christians,
mm-hmm.
Christians in name only, carnal Christians, you name it, they're the ones who teeter and get confused on these issues. But the truly born again, those who are on fire, I see us digging in our heels and saying, we're ready to fight.
And it makes all the difference in the world. So, well, Bishop, if someone would like to get in touch with you and or learn more about you or the ministry of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, how can they do that?
UpperRoomGospel.org. You can look us up that way. You can always call the church. It's one of the simplest ways. Again, 919-829-6160. And we will return your call. We will get back in touch with you. We have a powerful presence on social media, Facebook and YouTube. We also are on the TCT television network. You can look us up and get our times there. And we're located in Raleigh, North Carolina, 3300 Idlewood Village Drive, here in the city of Raleigh. And God is blessing us. And please look us up.
Amen.
And thank you, sir, for allowing us to have this time and space.
Bishop, always an honor to have you on. Again, our phone guest has been Bishop Patrick Wooden, the bishop and pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. God bless you, Bishop. Keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you, my friend. And you continue the great work. And God bless all your great listeners out there.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.